And we know that many people who've had COVID-19 report having symptoms like brain fog or headaches or trouble concentrating long after they've stopped testing positive, you know, long haulers. Well, a new study confirms that, as one science writer put it, COVID-19 may still be messing with your brain and in far more serious ways than we knew. The study, published in the journal Nature Medicine, was conducted by researchers at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, and it found that people who've had COVID have an increased risk in the first year following of developing dozens of conditions, including tremors, depression, anxiety, seizures, mobility disorders, and the risk of developing Alzheimer's. Epidemiologist Ziad Al-Ali was lead author. And Dr. Al-Ali, pretty compelling. What was your first response?
Well, it's really sobering. So we've assembled this cohort of about 150,000 people with COVID-19 and compared them to 11 million folks who did not have COVID-19. Well, we found that people with COVID-19 had increased risk of a variety of brain problems. And it's really, when you sort of put it all together, it's 44 different disorders in the brain and neurologic system that can happen in the year that follows the initial infection. Yeah. COVID-19 is really not as benign as some people think it is.
Right. Well, and we talked to a lot of people who knew this, you know, because they are suffering these long-term effects. But remind us, 77% of the people in your study had an increase in memory problems, that brain fog we talked about. If you've had COVID, you're 42% more likely to have other neurological issues, 42% more likely. So what are some of the things that you saw?
So we've seen that it's much more than brain fog. So we've seen much, much more extensive damage to the brain. We've seen people with, you know, headache problems, you know, seizure disorders, even Alzheimer's disease, peripheral nervous system disorder, inflammation of the brain, something we call encephalitis.
Okay, well, talk about, you mentioned Alzheimer's there, which, as we know, is a neurological disease, and encephalitis, which, as I understand it, is an inflammatory ailment, this brain swelling. So what is happening in each case, inflammation and neurological? Is COVID causing something like inflammation and encephalitis? It can't be causing, or can it, something like Alzheimer's, which takes a while to build up?
Yes, in some instances, COVID is really actually causing inflammation of the brain and inflammation of the lining of the blood vessels. That could certainly lead to encephalitis, can lead to memory problems, et cetera, et cetera. In the case of Alzheimer's disease, we really think that, you know, Alzheimer's disease takes years and often decades to really manifest. So we don't think a COVID infection can really, you know, all of a sudden precipitate an Alzheimer's disease in a person who will never, ever had it, right? Is never really predisposed to it. So what we think is happening there is that, you know, people may have been predisposed to getting Alzheimer's disease and they get COVID, and then COVID sort of accelerates the development of the disease. Let's say a person who was going to have maybe Alzheimer's at age 80 or 85, now they're 60 and all of a sudden have it at age 61.
Oh, terrible, terrible. Now, again, this study was talking about these things happening within the first year after COVID, but we don't know 10 years after COVID because we aren't yet 10 years after COVID. First, what does this study tell you about what we may be finding down the road, or does it not tell you anything?
So at this point, obviously, it's really very hard to sort of predict the future, like especially 10 years from now. What we know now is that COVID in some people, we don't want to scare everyone, right. So like it's not everyone, but in some people can lead to long-term neurologic manifestations. So we really need to take this infection very seriously. And for a lot of the people who've been infected once, you know, they should really try their best to reduce their risk of getting the infection again. Because again, infection with COVID-19 could carry in some people long-term risk. What we now know is that some of the manifestations of long COVID may improve with time, but some other manifestations like, you know, Alzheimer's disease or inflammatory disorders of the brain, these are lifelong conditions. Right. So even if they get it in the first year, if they get that stroke in the first year, but that could have debilitating effects or long-term effects that will last with people for a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, as you're saying, you have Alzheimer's at 60 instead of 80. That's devastating. And by the way, you mentioned strokes, blood clots. The study found a 50% increase in blood clots causing strokes in this community you looked at that had had COVID. Why would that be?
So COVID itself increases the propensity of the blood to clot. So really, COVID does that. And in some instances, those clots can happen in arteries that supply the brain, leading to strokes. And then strangely enough, actually the same virus can in some people lead to bleeding disorders. And in those patients can actually lead to what we call hemorrhagic stroke. So this is really happening in people up to a year after the initial infection.
Yeah. Why do you think these effects are happening in some people who had COVID and not in others?
There are a variety of issues. Could be the initial dose of COVID, could be their health situation prior to getting COVID, could be some genetic predisposition to getting long-term outcomes. But in some individuals, unfortunately, that infection, you know, even in mild cases, actually, in some individuals, it can lead to serious long-term consequences.
Yeah. We've done some reporting on research that shows that there might be a genetic mutation that impacts some people. We'll link people to that at herenow.org. But meantime, we understand that being vaccinated doesn't make you immune from these long-term effects, but it can lessen them. It can have some protection.
Absolutely. So vaccination remains the cornerstone of our public health response. So if you've never been vaccinated, haven't been vaccinated, or haven't gotten your booster, definitely do that. But it's also we need to be aware that vaccinations reduce but do not eliminate the risk of long COVID. Specifically, when we talk about the risk of neurologic manifestations up to 1 year, the risk reduction is actually quite small. So they do some, they work some, they reduce the risk, but do not completely eliminate the risk of long COVID.
Yeah. Look, doctor, you said you don't want to scare people. I do. You know, I'm fine with that because this is, you know, a cautionary tale here. You run such a risk, not just of getting sick and maybe missing a few days, of your life, homesick, but maybe years off your life with one of these debilitating diseases. You know, what would you want people to know?
I think that this is exactly what we worry about the most. We don't really worry too much about the acute infection, you know, getting that fever or cough or it lasts maybe for a day or two or three or four or even a week. Most of us can just manage that. I think the real serious risk is really the long-term implications that may actually stick with people for a lifetime or may scar people for a lifetime. And then some of those long-term complications are really, really serious, you know, Alzheimer's disease, strokes. So the advice, you know, was and remain that we should continue to do our best to try to reduce the risk of that infection.
Try not to get COVID.
I mean, that's really the point here. We're all sick and tired of all the, you know, public health measures and lockdowns and all that. And definitely, we don't want to go back to that era. But I think we need to continue to do our best, you know, masking when possible, avoiding crowded places when possible, maybe exercising that choice of dining outside instead of dining inside. If you're boarding a plane today or boarding a bus or a train, you know, it really doesn't cost you that much to put that mask on, reduce your risk, and also reduce the risk of the people around you.
Dr. Ziad Ali, lead author of the new study on the neurological effects of COVID-19. It was published in the journal Nature Medicine. We'll link you at herenow.org. Dr. Al-Ali, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be with you.